John Murphy and Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio, and joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, longtime observer of the NFL. He is a longtime reporter for Sports Illustrated covering the league, and now, of course, he is the man behind the website, mmqb.si.com. Happy to have Peter King on the line with us. Peter, John Murphy, Donald Jones, thanks for being with us here today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. How are you?
Good. The headline of your post today, your Monday morning quarterback post today, the Bills begin again. I think most Bills fans identify. I know I did. Most Bills fans identify like, yep, here we go again, Peter. You kind of captured that right in the first sentence or two.
Well, I mean, obviously, John, you've seen it all. Since the last time that they played a playoff game, they've had, this is the Sean McDermott's the ninth head coach, and Brandon Bean is the seventh either GM or franchise architect, and it's got to be getting old. And I think literally, you know, if you're a Bills fan, you have to be thinking one of two things right now. Okay, good. We've got young blood. We've got two guys out to prove themselves. We don't have the old recycled coach slash, you know, long-time GM either being recycled or, you know, basically a veteran guy who is, you know, on his second or third team. I mean, both these guys basically are hungry to prove themselves as really competent, you know, both as a coach and franchise builders. And that's one of the reasons why, look, I think both decisions have been greeted with acclaim, and well, they should. But there's still two issues. Number one, you don't know if you have the long-term quarterback. Number two, no one has been able to, to climb to the top of Mount Patriot in 16 years. So until somebody can do that, it all sounds good in the off season, but doesn't mean a lot yet.
Peter, like you said, it all sounds good in the off season, but when you had a chance to sit down and talk to them together, and then when you speak to people in the football world, what do they say about these two hires that the Bills have made?
Well, I think one of the reasons that people like that people like Sean McDermott is his pedigree. You know, you go back to learning under Jim Johnson. He's a universally respected defensive mind by people who play all different kinds of defenses. You talk about people who run the zone blitz, and they say, man, Jim Johnson, he is a hugely respected guy in my mind. And you talk about people who run sort of a more standard defense, you know, the Bill Parcells, is they love Jim Johnson. So, Sean McDermott was a pup at the right hand of Jim Johnson, and that's of huge help. Then, after working for the Eagles for a while, he goes to Carolina and he helps build a great defense there. The thing that I like about Sean McDermott, and Ron Rivera has made it clear to me over the years, that is Sean McDermott running that defense. Mm-hmm. And it isn't that other people didn't have a hand in it, but Sean McDermott was very much his fingerprints all over that. And as far as, you know, Brandon Bean goes, I think one of the things that I think is attractive about him is that he has done everything, mm-hmm. you know, from going from the absolute lower levels of football, being an intern in the Carolina Panthers, both in PR and football ops, and then just doing every job along the way, getting more and more responsibility on the way. And so, you know, and both these guys are still very young. They're still in their early 40s, and I think that is an attractive thing. Now, it's nothing against Rex Ryan, but the Bills got Rex Ryan on the rebound. There's something to be said for getting a guy who's won before, who's brought a team to the playoffs. I get it. But I think in today's day and age, I want somebody to come in who's dying to prove himself. I don't want Rex Ryan. I don't want Jeff Fisher. I don't want these guys who have done it before. And, they... You, they don't really have the it's not really burning in them, in my opinion, the way it would a guy who's never done it before, who's got no money in the bank, relatively speaking. But again, I don't want to praise either guy too much because you just don't know. They're a blank slate.
Mm-hmm.
But they come to the job with the right pedigree. And so, I mean, I think that right now is a positive.
We're with Peter King from mmqb.si.com. And, yeah, and that's the flip side, isn't it, Peter? The fact that, you know, the Bills have in place now, the top two football decision makers are guys who've never been in this position before. Can you think of any recent examples that of a situation like that where it's worked out really well? And what do we anticipate here?
Well, I mean, I guess I would look at, in a different way, sort of the Seattle Seahawks, where Pete Carroll came from being in college football for a long time, and John Schneider was brand new as a GM, and that worked really well. Their chemistry, even though they didn't know each other that well, I think their chemistry worked out well. You know, probably another good example, you know, in terms of more recent times. And again, look, all of this is, nothing is exactly the same at all. But, you know, I think you go to Philadelphia and look at, you know, Howie Roseman right now. He's been in and out of that chair in Philadelphia, and Howie Roseman getting to pick his guy in Doug Peterson. You know, so these things work all in different ways, really. Mike Smith, Thomas Dimitroff getting a chance together in 2008 in Atlanta. But again, obviously, you guys have seen it. It hasn't always worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so, look, I think everybody should just be happy, confident. Okay, we've taken the right step. Now, how are we going to beat Tom Brady?
Now,
well, I wanted to say one more thing about this. In your post, the Bills begin again on MMQB. You mentioned about the fact that McDermott had to recruit Brandon Bean a little bit. I asked Bean on our show last Friday, Peter, you know, you were on track to be the GM in Carolina, maybe in the not too distant future. What brought you up here? And you write that there was a book involved in some way, huh?
Well, I think, who knows whether he would have come anyway, but, you know, late in the process between the first and second interview that Brandon Bean had, Sean McDermott, who's a fan of inspirational and probably faith-based books, you know, was in the process of reading a book about live your dreams. And he took a picture of the cover of the book and he texted it to Bean, who at that moment was basically watching TV in bed with his wife, and they're sitting there talking about this job. And it was very fortuitous because Brandon Bean, his entire life, lived in Carolina. Sean McDermott and his wife, rather, her entire life lived in the Carolinas. So, I mean, the whole thing was, to me, and what was so interesting about this is that book came along, you know, make sure your dreams are big enough. And that book came along, and it was a spur that I think was one of the final straws in getting this thing done.
Peter, in your post, you talk a little bit and you ask them about, you know, their relationship. There's a lot being made up here because of, you know, things that the perception in the past and how the GM didn't get along with previous coaches. So there's a lot of talk up here about, you know, the GM needs to really have a good relationship with the head coach. So what do you think about their relationship as you had a chance to sit down and speak to them?
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons why you should be optimistic if you're a Bills fan. These guys basically together brought in players. Look at the story of Mario Addison taken off the practice squad of Washington about 5 years ago. That was a decision that Bean wanted to pursue, and that those are the kind of decisions that he and Sean McDermott talked about and will end up pursuing similar kind of decisions, you know, at this level. And I think one of the things about doing a shotgun marriage with your head coach and general manager, like Rex Ryan, Doug Whaley. One of the things about doing that is that, look, the owner might want to hire Rex Ryan, and the owner might be all fired up about hiring Rex Ryan. But the minute he gets hired, and again, I have absolutely no idea deep down what each guy thought of each other, but I mean deep down, you can't tell right away if Rex Ryan and Doug Whaley have any of the same philosophies, look at building a roster the same together. So again, and it turned out to be, I wouldn't call it a debacle, but it just wasn't very smooth. It wasn't harmonic. It wasn't harmonic convergence. This one, you know that this is the guy who Sean McDermott wanted to be his architect, and you know as an architect that this is the guy that Brandon Bean wanted as his head coach. So you look at it, and you know it's pretty fortuitous. And again, probably at this stage, when you see the coach and general manager, how do they fit? I mean, I think it's an excellent fit. Now, obviously, they got to go out and get the right players.
Mm-hmm. On the line with Peter King from mmqb.si.com. You mentioned right off the top, Peter, about the central questions for the Bills. One, you don't know if you have the long-term answer at quarterback. Brandon Bean talked about that a little bit today. Certainly, Tyrod Taylor is the short-term answer. And Donald and I have been saying the contract, the way it's structured for Tyrod Taylor, makes it pretty clear that they're not convinced he's long-term. But for 2017, he's the guy. He's going to get another chance to prove himself, right?
And he should. I think he played well enough last year, and I know that some people in the organization thought that he deserved 2017. Some didn't. And by the way he approached his contract this offseason, Tyrod Taylor said, I am willing to play on a prove-it basis. So good for him. He's, you know, and look, obviously, if he wasn't willing to play on a prove-it basis, he might have gotten whacked. So, you know, good for him that he's played it this way. And look, I think he's in the right position with the right offensive system that he knows quite well, you know, coming from Baltimore. And so, look, I think that they're doing the best thing they could. I think it would have been a big mistake to reach for a quarterback they didn't love in this draft, especially because, I mean, look, I can't give you a percentage, but it's probably 50-50 that after this year they're going to say Tyrod's our guy.
Now, we actually have a Twitter poll up today, and it's about Tyrod Taylor and what he needs to do to prove to, you know, Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean that he is the franchise, and the Bills fans, that he is the franchise quarterback moving forward. So in your opinion, what does he need to do to prove to everybody up here in Western New York that he's the guy moving forward?
Play 16 games, complete 67%, limit mistakes, fewer than 10 interceptions. I mean, those are the kind of things. Command the team. He certainly earned the respect of the team last year. But I think those things are important. And, you know, look, it's no matter what beyond 2017 the future of Sammy Watkins is, look, you've got Watkins now. Get him as healthy as you can and let him help you give Buffalo the deep threat that, you know, he was supposed to be when he was drafted.
Hey, Peter, you mentioned the Mount Patriot problem for the Buffalo Bills. I guess as we follow closely what New England's been up to this offseason, maybe it's wishful thinking, but many people in Buffalo look at it as if to say, look, the Patriots know that the Brady window is closing, and they're loading up a little bit now, maybe on the other side of the ball, in fact, but maybe they won't have to, we won't have to wait too much longer for New England to move aside.
John, I don't know. I mean, everybody can say the Patriot window is closing. Brady's 39. He turns 40 on August 3. But, you know, I could easily argue that at age 39, he had one of the three or four best seasons of his career, had a great playoff run and one of the great Super Bowl rallies, the greatest Super Bowl rally there ever was. So, I mean, I don't think – I keep hearing that. I really do. I keep hearing that the Patriots window, the Patriots' another window is closing. I don't see it. I mean, because it's one of the reasons why they kept Garoppolo and why they'll have a big decision to make at the end of this year. What to do about Garoppolo, what to do about Brady. This is a seminal year for the Patriots in terms of deciding their long-term future, because let's say Brady is hurt, misses a bunch of time, and Belichick says, hey, listen, I got to go with the kid. We're going to sign the kid. Tom, we love you. Thanks for the memories. It's not likely, certainly, but it wouldn't shock me. Even if they say we're going with Garoppolo, to me, there's a reason why the Patriots have been so loyal to Garoppolo and didn't make this huge trade this offseason. They love Garoppolo. Belichick is firmly convinced that he can be a playoff quarterback. He can be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. So, you know, hey, we'll see. And you're right. It might be wishful thinking, but, you know, people might be right in questioning the long-term future of the Patriots.
Now, Peter, as you talk about Garoppolo, and they love Garoppolo, and they have a big decision to make, let's just say that did happen, and they were to say, you know, thanks, Tom Brady, for what you've done for us, but we have to go with the kid now. You had a chance to sit down with Brady after the Super Bowl in, like, some hideaway out in, like, Wyoming or something like that. Did you get the sense that if that was to happen, that Brady would retire? Does he still have that fire burning?
Brady's going to keep playing. If he gets whacked by Belichick at the end of this year, Tom Brady is going to keep playing. He's not leaving the game until he wants to. And he absolutely, unequivocally, unless something weird happens this year, will not want to leave.
Hey, Peter, I have one more question for you. It deals with another topic you dealt with in your post today, MMQB, and that's officiating. When Dean Blandino announced he was stepping aside, a lot of people panicked about the new centralized replay. It sounds like, from what you've written today, it's going to be business as usual in that room in New York, huh?
They think it is, John. With Alberto Riveron joining, or now being the, the chief decision maker in that room, I think that everybody in New York is looking at it like, hey, it's no big deal. We're going to be fine. And I think right now the way I look at it is they have brought in two of their best. One of their best head linesmen, Wayne Mackey, comes off the field to work inside there. And then the guy who they believe is the best replay official in the NFL, comes in there to help them as well. So I think they're buttressing Alberto Riveron, the people around him, and I think they're confident that they'll be able to do it right. But again, Bill Parcells used to say they don't sell insurance for this kind of stuff, and losing a guy like Dean Blandino, I think he was tremendous at his job, in part because he was so instantaneously conversant on every rule, and he could deal with the media so well, and that's so important in that job.
Hey, Peter, thanks for this. Thanks for your time. We hope to talk again sometime. We really appreciate it.
Okay, guys, thanks very much for having me.